inside the Anaheim Ducks locker room as we get ready for another come out and play night. Of course, our special guest would be no other than members of the Offspring, Dexter and Noodles, everybody. Hey.
Hey, man.
Thank you.
How you feeling?
Great.
Good. Yeah.
And I asked that because, one, look, how cool is this being in the Ducks locker room? We booted the guys, to go practice somewhere else for us to be able to film the interview here. But I really got to ask, I mean, you really started off 2025 on a big note, a couple shows in South Africa. You just came back from Dubai last week. If that was me, I don't know if I'd even be able to be here right now. I'd be jet lag crazy. I'm sure you guys don't even get jet lag anymore.
No, it's coming back from Dubai is one of the longest bouts of jet lag we've all had. But we're getting up early, so let's take advantage of that and show up and do a podcast with you, man.
Appreciate it. Given all that, we can't be thankful enough for you guys to be out here and frankly to be back with us. Come out and play night. As much as I would want to say welcome right now, I'm more pumped to say welcome back. This is awesome. I mean, just going back to last year for a second here. I mean, obviously you're taking everything in, your first time partnering up with us. This is such a great, unique situation in terms of a professional sports team teaming up with a band like this. But what was something that you experienced last year that clicked in your head? You're like, we got to run it back again next year.
I think just meeting all the fans, really.
For sure.
Yeah, we love a hometown crowd, and we have a lot of fans that are also Ducks fans, and it's like family.
Yeah,
we didn't know what to expect, right? But I mean, like, of course, yeah, hockey fans and music fans goes together, right? And so we thought it would be something good, but I remember getting in the room, and we felt like we were just kind of absorbed. We were part of the scene, the thing that was going on, and it was just really exciting.
Oh, that's awesome. And speaking of excited, I was stoked to see you guys here at the game a couple days ago. And now a year later, obviously you guys were a big part of our rebrand and us turning your song Coming For You into our goal song. You got to talk us through really just listening to that for the first time and seeing the fans go crazy for that.
I know, bucket list, right?
Yeah.
Check, goal song, done, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, talk through that a little bit in terms of, throughout the years, people have consumed your music in so many different ways, whether that's, on the radio or, obviously, buying your CDs, now streaming. Like, did you ever think your song would be used in this way? I mean, the goal song in hockey is like literally the highest moment of a game.
Well, Keep Them Separated used to get played a lot during fights.
Yeah.
So, still does, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there's, and that kind of makes sense. So, but to have a goal song now feels great. It's a, that's even better. That's more than just,
for sure.
Doing a song about fighting.
Yeah. People fighting.
Yeah. I mean, some of the best songs have been goal songs. So to be included in that group is really, it's really an honor.
Yeah. I mean, going into this season, obviously we're really embracing Orange County, our hometown guys. It was only right.
Orange now, country, man.
Exactly. Right? Yes, right, absolutely.
Man. Get it.
Now going back to the roots a little bit, let's go back for, going back to 1993, that's when the Ducks had their first year. You guys come out with Smash a year later. I feel like your origins were similar in terms of timeline, but, the Ducks obviously stemmed from the Mighty Ducks, hence the name, the Anaheim Ducks and whatnot. But the Offspring, where did that even stem from in the beginning?
Yeah. We grew up in Garden Grove, Orange County and stuff. And we were just, regular suburban kids, bored and looking for something to do and inspired by other Orange County bands like Social Distortion and stuff like that. And, we growing up in Orange County, we're really aware that Orange County used to be considered like, the little brother of LA. But I mean, that's why it's so great to see the Ducks coming up. And, we've had a great time coming up as a band, and it's really cool.
And, if you are kind of energetic and bored and you want to smash stuff, there's constructive ways of doing that. Like, you could become an athlete. We're not great athletes, so we decided to try music. And,
right.
We're smashing stuff with our music, getting that aggression out.
Parallel paths.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And even going back to, when the Ducks first came around, hockey wasn't necessarily a big sport in the Southern California region. Can you talk through what the punk rock scene was when you first,
Yeah, well, the punk rock scene was not popular either, you know?
Yeah.
there was, you know, when punk first started, there was, you know, big arena rock and there was disco, and then punks were the ones that everybody kind of hated and just made fun of, right?
But there's an energy to the music that we were always really attracted to, right? And
energy and a little bit of defiance, you know?
Yeah, attitude for sure.
Well, I feel like you're talking about hockey right there too.
Exactly.
It really just falls like...
It works, right?
Yeah, it does work. And when did you start to kind of see that turn where punk rock really started to, you know, blow up out here and obviously, you know, beyond?
Early 90s, think, right? Yeah.
I think, you know, we kind of saw it with Nirvana. Nirvana was really kind of called a grunge band, but I thought they were punk, and they played maybe a little bit slower than a lot of you know, the punk bands that most that we listened to. But then it wasn't much of a jump from them to bands like us.
Gotcha. Yeah. You know, and going back to the names real quick, obviously, like, you know, nicknames are popular. I feel like in both worlds, you know, a few of our guys have nicknames, Radko Gudas, The Butcher, you know, Frank Vetrano, Frank the Tank, Noodles. I got to ask you, where does Noodles stem from?
Yeah, it really comes from noodling on the guitar.
Okay.
It was our first producer. We would, everything was done to tape back then. It wasn't just hit a button and you delete it. You had to actually go over the tape and erase stuff. And there would be just bits of me noodling that, you know, we wouldn't know, where's this coming from? What track is this on? And
never stop playing guitar. Never.
Yeah, he would get, whenever I'd make a mistake, I'd just start noodling and doing something.
I hope that you actually like noodles itself too.
Oh man. Yeah. Ramen, udon. Yeah. No, in fact, I think, you know, when we're done here at lunch, ramen.
Get some nice noodles.
Okay.
Oh, good. It'd be awkward if, like, you know, some of these, you know, maybe shows are like, oh, noodles is coming, so let's do like a big noodle bar. And you're like, oh, I actually don't eat noodles. You know, that'd be awkward.
Yeah.
You know, going into how hockey is so similar to, I feel like, this, your guys' world in music. I mean, again, this relationship is so unique. I don't think I've ever seen another professional's team like have this in-depth of a relationship with an artist or band. So, you know, with that being said, are there any things, anything that you felt like surprised you in terms of interacting with our guys, like throughout the last couple of years, any similarities that you didn't expect?
What's rad is, I think, you know, we ran into like Radko and Lucas in the Czech Republic last summer, hanging out. They came to a big festival. The collaboration made perfect sense to me. You know, back in the day, it was like surfing and skateboarding and punk rock, you know, but hockey is a fast paced, energetic, you know, there's a lot of gliding and stuff like that, just like in surfing and skating. So it made sense.
High energy.
Perfect sense. Yeah,
a little bit violent.
A little bit violent. Yeah. It's not safe.
It was cool seeing them, like you said, seeing them in the Czech Republic together. It's like, but these guys hang out together the way guys in a band hang out together. So this, it's just, there are a lot of similarities, I think. Yeah.
The biggest thing I've been so excited about this is just, again, going to the roots, like, you're our hometown guys, Orange County, Orange Country, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. You know, you just got off of traveling South Africa, Dubai. You know, in a month you're gonna be traveling the world again, all the way through the rest of the year. But again, to kind of go back to Orange County, can you talk through you know, some of the venues here that still kind of resonate with you today, just given that you've literally played all over the place?
Yeah, gosh. Well, back in the day, you know, it was the Cuckoo's Nest was a legendary club in Costa Mesa. There was Safari Sam's at Huntington Beach. It was really small.
Sure, a lot of old punk clubs and a lot of metal clubs, like Goodies, that ended up kind of becoming like punk clubs sort of or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, really kind of the pinnacle, right, is we got to play the Honda Center last year, right, here for the very first time, right? And that was like just, you know, the top of the mountain.
It literally felt like, almost kind of like watching the Ducks here. It just felt like home. Like, you know, 30th anniversary of the building, also obviously of the album.
And Smash and
It
felt like a homecoming for sure.
For sure. There's a love that you feel in a hometown show, that there's also a lot of crazy frenetic energy, but there's a lot of love that you don't necessarily feel when we're, you know, traveling the world. You definitely feel in spades here in Orange County. For sure.
When you are traveling the world like that, I mean, Is there any sense of, obviously, I mean, you miss home, I'm sure, at some point, right? What do you feel like is like the first thing that you kind of do when you come back after being on the road for so long out here in
tacos.
Tacos.
Yeah. I was gonna say In-N-Out.
In-N-Out.
In-N-Out in the hallway. Tacos. Yeah, the kind of stuff you can't really get outside of LA, California.
Where is there anywhere on the road that you can think of specifically that like actually reminds you of home here? You know, reminds you of Orange County.
Probably parts of Australia.
Yeah.
Okay. Why is that?
I don't know. It's just it does kind of feel like the U.S. at a slower pace.
Yeah.
You know,
weather's kind of similar. People are nice.
All the cities are on the coast. You know, so like a coastal city. You know, we live in Huntington Beach, so
yeah.
You know,
yeah. Nice. Let's go back to that 30th anniversary show here for a little bit. So you know, we kind of again going back to, you know, 30 years ago, Honda Center opens up. Obviously, you guys are just starting out as a band. You know, talk to that journey, especially even whether it's playing locally or even beyond that, you started to feel like, you know what, we're gonna play in that building. We're gonna play in buildings like that.
Yeah. I don't think we could even see that far ahead, right? I
mean, it took us a long time before we even dared to dream about playing.
A lot of people don't know that we were a band just here in the suburbs for 10 years. Mm. And nothing was happening. I mean, we were drawing 20 people, but we were going to school and had jobs and we were just doing it for fun. So 94 is when it actually took off with our album Smash. And so to go from 0 to 100, it was just an amazing, incredible experience. And, you know, nothing can ever beat going from nothing to all the way there. Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's been great ever since. But what has been surprising to us and really cool over the years is that album has remained like a favorite of our fans and stuff. So
absolutely.
That's why when this opportunity came up to play a 30th anniversary of Smash, and especially here in Orange County, the Honda Center, it was just, it was too good to pass up.
Oh, of course. And you just mentioned that even going further and further back to the roots here, you're going to school, you know, you had your jobs. Can you kind of talk through that journey of, you know, what you were doing leading up to, you know, one, forming the band, and then to the point where you're like, you know what, we got to put all that aside and go all in on this.
Yeah, I was a janitor with the Garden Grove Unified School District.
Hey.
So shout out GGUSD.
Yeah, that's right.
I still
was promoted to head janitor. So
I applied for the job and yeah.
You got it, right?
Yeah, I got the job.
So there was a career trajectory, I think. It was
I still run into people, you know, they're all grown adults now that were kids at the elementary school where I was. It was Earl Warren Elementary School in Garden Grove. I was the head custodian there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep running into kids and they're,
you do, and you go, know. I cleaned up your vomit once.
yeah. Seriously.
I'm sure, you know, a lot of us in our own professional fields, whenever we go to something relevant, you can't help but, you know, critique, you know, like, do you roll up to a school even now and kind of, you know, see like, hey, how. This could be a little cleaner right here. This could be a little better.
Okay, you know? He does have that eye.
I do. When we walk into hotels and there's the guy buffing the floors. Good job. Or you missed a spot. You know, yeah.
I've seen him take it over, actually. Yeah. Can't help himself.
Hey, yeah. You never lose it. You never lose it. Yeah, right?
I almost did that in Dubai. They left the buffer unattended for a second.
Oh, really?
I'm looking around.
Ooh, yeah,
is that you on tour, on the road? Are you like the tidy one in the group?
No. See, it's like No, I did that for a living for 13 years. I'm awful. I'm a slob at home. Yeah. My wife's got me to pick up after myself.
There we go.
A bit.
As always. Yeah. Yeah, of course. And what about you, Dexter? Like, you know, just going back to you know, what you were doing before the band, what was that term for you?
Yeah, we're just regular kids growing up in Garden Grove, right? With all the things that you struggle with and trying to find your way, whatever. And I ended up going to USC and I was a pre-med. I thought I was going to be a doctor. And then, I came home every weekend and we jammed with the band because that was what I was really passionate about. And then having crappy summer jobs, we both loaded trucks for Montgomery Ward one summer. Yeah. We wore orange jumpsuits and, you know, so we did it all, man. We started from the bottom.
Slung
for sure.
Pizza for a while.
So yeah, that, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, found the rehearsal studios here in the industrial areas where you got to carry your amp in and everyone set up their stuff for 3 hours and then carry it back out again. And, But that was the fun of it. It wasn't like, we never felt like, you know, we're paying our dues and we're going to make it someday. That was like the farthest thing from our mind, especially because it was punk rock. Like there was no future in that. There was no career in that. It was just the love of what we were doing.
Some people went out and like you said, some people would go play golf, you know, or softball or whatever. We went and played music, you know, it was what we loved to do.
Yeah. And speaking of that, once you get into a job, right? What do they always say? Once you love what you do, you don't work another day in your life. Yeah, right. But obviously this is still work, right? You're making records, you're touring all over the world. I mean, what are some of the things that you do to kind of escape from that? You know, different hobbies and just, again, to just keep you, it'll keep you sane.
Yeah, I've got my bird watching app on my phone. Oh. And so when we, you know, when I have a day off, I'll go and, you know, wherever I am in the world and you know, just kind of look at different birds. What do we got? You know, I like to get out in nature and hike around and walk around and get away from, you know, all the traveling circus aspect of what we do. You know, get out in nature is rad.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you hit some cities, though, where there's not much nature, right? Like,
you know, you'd be surprised if you can find parks and stuff. A lot of times, you know, like just walking along a river, like Paris has a river flowing through. A lot of cities do. And just kind of you'll see a lot going on.
Yeah, that's good. You know,
in the parks and stuff. Yeah.
That's great. What about you, Dexter?
Does alcohol count as an answer?
Yeah, absolutely.
We do tend to find a lot of really cool pubs while we're traveling too. Yeah.
I mean, we love what we do. And of course the show is the fun part, right? That's that hour where everything's just great. And the rest of it is, you know, can be a lot sometimes.
A lot of hurry up and wait, you know, with the traveling.
Yeah. I tried to add it up. I think that we travel on average about 5 hours every day from beginning to end.
Wow.
So that's a lot, right? So sometimes you just want to kind of hide in your room and close the drapes and maybe order room service and just kind of forget it. But the thing is, you got to kind of figure out how to get out of that world of just being traveling and on stage, one or the other. So like he said, just getting out like for a bike ride, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I forgot I was on tour. Here we are like in Spain or whatever, you know, just riding a bike around.
That's the best way to getting out and walking, biking, doing stuff like that. It's the best way to get to know a city too.
Of course. Yeah. You know, I can never complain about being stuck on the 5 freeway ever again. 5 hours on average a day. I mean, okay. Yeah. Speaking of like, hobbies, you know, even going into rituals, right? That's something that I feel like hockey players do as well. Pre-game rituals. Let's talk through that. Sure. Again, so many similarities here. What are some of the pre-show rituals that you do to get ready?
Yeah, lately we've been getting together and just we have a jam room and we kind of warm up. Either if we're going to do a new song that night or something we haven't played in a while, we'll run through that. Or just jam cover songs, you know, whether it's Devo or The Cars or, you know, some of the punk bands we're fans of. You know, we get together and do that. A lot of times I'll have two beers, but I'm trying to cut back on the beers before a show.
You're passing them off to Dexter.
Yeah. That used to be my ritual, two beers. Just kind of take the edge off. But
yeah, I don't think we have too much of a ritual. It's not like we don't have a prayer hug or a rubber rabbit's foot or anything like that. I mean, I do a vocal warm up just to try to get ready. I think that's kind of what you're saying.
Just knock on the table 3 times, just and spin twice.
The lights on and off. Yeah.
That's awesome. With regards to even like other artists, I mean, you guys do covers. What kind of goes into deciding like who you want to cover? You know, is it more of a personal touch? Let's get into that.
It's a couple of things. It's got to be a song that we love to play.
Yeah, of course.
And we've got to think that the fans are going to enjoy that. You know, a lot of times if we're playing with other bands, like what kind of music what's a song we could do to win over some of their fans? We did some tours with 311 back in the day, and we played a Clash song. It was kind of like a fun reggae vibe Clash song. We thought that'll work to win over some of their fans. And we love the song. It was a great song.
That's great. Are there any bands that have covered you that you want, I guess, either surprised about or honored about?
I heard the Spin Doctors covered Take It Like a Man.
Really?
Whoa. Ignition, which is our second album.
Yeah, I don't hear too many people covering our band. I'm not sure. What
Kelly Clarkson
says.
Did.
Really?
Excuse me. Oh. Kelly Clarkson covered like on her
TV show.
Right?
So, all right. And there you go.
She covered us.
How often do you guys are you guys out and you know, you're just going through like a string of bars and you hear bands, you know, playing your music?
I'd say quite a bit we hear it, right?
Yeah. We've jumped up, you know, with them and played with them in bars and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's just a lot of fun. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. So, yeah. You know, with kind of going back to the parallel a little bit with like hockey and the music world, I think something that is always talked about just in sports in general is like how their game is changing, whether that's, you know, the game getting faster or, you know, equipment changing, rules changing. You know, how does that kind of relate to your world with regards to, you know, just music in general, from, you know, formerly making records to now putting out streaming, or like the difference between touring back then to like doing shows now, whether that's residencies and festivals, and obviously touring is still the realm, but you know, yeah, like where do you kind of see the music scene going over, you know, the next 10 years or so?
Yeah.
I mean, we grew up going to clubs, and so everything would be super stripped down, and it was just the sheer joy of just the music, the live music or whatever now. But I think people have more expectations now and shorter attention spans. And I think when we do a show, we have to consider that we have to build more of an experience, if you know what I mean. So the show has to have kind of a journey of where the songs take you in the set list. And, you know, there's generally video now and stuff that we would have never considered years ago.
Wow. That's insane.
It's been a lot of fun though.
It's been fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's another avenue to, you know, express yourself creatively, you know?
Oh, of course. You guys were at the peak of, again, like, you know, physical CDs coming out and like, and obviously streaming's big now, but now you're starting to see a turn back into vinyl, you know, being popular again. And
thank God for vinyl keeping,
you
know, keeping that alive and keeping the old school spirit of just why you make music in the first place. And, you know, with records too, you have all the artwork that goes on an album cover, you know, you don't have that with a streaming. You don't have, you know,
of course.
So maybe a little, you know, thumbnail on your phone while you're listening to
music.
Yeah,
exactly. I think nostalgia always ends up kind of, you know, making its way back. Right.
Yeah,
so,
for
sure. You know, speaking of the record, want to say thank you guys for letting us do another one for the Come Out and Play night coming up. I believe we're doing an orange vinyl record with Supercharged, your latest album.
Nice.
And then I believe we're actually doing a digital download of you guys performing Come Out and Play and Self-Esteem live from the 30th anniversary show. Wow. Yeah, it's gonna be cool.
You guys think of everything, man. When you do a collab, man.
We appreciate you guys being down with us.
I love the team store kind of turns into like a record store for that.
It was so cool last year.
Really super cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, did you ever even think that your logo would then get incorporated with a sports team? Now there's jerseys and merch. I mean, obviously you deal with your own merch all the time, but you're in the sports realm now. It must be crazy
to
see that.
It's just really fun,
right?
And quite an honor for sure.
Now, you know, going back to last year, you were here, you jumped on the ice with the guys. This year, we brought the guys to your world, the recording studio. Tell us a little bit about that and what were the things that you felt like you got to teach the guys this time around?
Yeah, I don't know that we taught them much. it was a lot of fun. Those guys are a crack up. So, you know,
they're
it was
great.
A lot of fun
just
hanging out. Yeah.
I mean, all of our experiences with them have been in their element, right? So it's so interesting to have them come over to our side and be out of their element, right? It was really cool though.
Gotcha. You know, and for myself as the DJ here, one thing I obviously loved last year was you know, playing all your guys' music. You have such a massive catalog. I literally feel like through your discography, I could play a whole game in itself of literally all Offspring, right?
But maybe a couple of games.
Yeah, I know.
You should. You
crazy.
Should.
Yeah. But, you know, to amp it up this year, I'd love to tell, you know, even more of a story of, you know, bands around you, you know, like what could fans expect to hear, even just starting off, you know, bands that again, you looked up to that we can include into game.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. A lot of Orange County bands from the early punk rock scene, TSOL, Adolescence, Social Distortion.
Yeah,
you know. So.
And what about bands that you know that you either featured with or continuously toured with? Like, what are some of the artists there that we could try and get into?
Like Pennywise are some of our best
friends.
Oh yeah,
no
play with them all the time.
Yeah,
Nice. And any upcoming bands that you guys are kind of seeing come up through the scene here?
Yeah, there's an Australian band called Amel and the Sniffers who we're playing with in South America coming up. I'm looking forward to them. There's a local band called Plague Vendor that's really good.
Nice. Band. What about you, Dexter? Anyone that we could kind of keep in mind for the night?
There's always something coming out, right?
Of course.
A friend turned me on to a German band. They're very strange, but very cool. They're called Electric Callboy. So
okay.
Kind of techno and hardcore mix. It's really kind of wild.
Yeah. Nice.
But they got some really good hooks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, a Come Out and Play night is coming up. And obviously, you're going to hear a ton of your music throughout the night. But it'll be cool for people to know, like, oh, that band is someone that they rock with, too. You know,
normally, if we're hanging out somewhere and they start playing our music, like a bar or whatever, we usually leave.
Yeah.
But this is a cool reason to,
this is
to
different.
Do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we do have a lot of fun with
it. Of course.
And we get to meet, like I said, meet and mingle with some of the fans.
That's awesome. Now, you know, what in terms of coming back this year, you know, what are you most excited about? And how do you see this relationship between the Offspring and the Anaheim Ducks, you know, continue to grow in the future? Keep this going.
We're just glad you guys don't hate us from last year. You know,
we haven't worn out our welcome yet. Yeah, thank God. Yeah.
No, you guys are always welcome. Remember, like again, you are ingrained with every single game. Aside from Come Out and Play Night, play your music all the time. Uh-huh. You guys have the goal song now. The people chant the haze is absolutely amazing, and we just appreciate you guys being here with us. You know?
Well, it's mutual for sure.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I came to the game last Sunday, so I saw them do the goal song.
Oh, absolutely,
it was amazing.
Well, we look forward to having you here. The game's gonna be happening soon.
And the Ducks kicked ass, from what I understand.
That's right, they won.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, Again, we know that after that game, about a week later, you're gonna be traveling the world once again. So for you guys to include us here during your break while you're here at home, you're here, you know, hunkering down in Orange County for you take off again for the world the rest of 2025. We appreciate you guys having us.
It is honestly our pleasure. It's a blast.
It's great.
Let's go, man. Well, thank you guys. Come out and play tonight. Coming up February 27th. We will see you there. Let's go. Nice.